I like that. I like that one. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillow. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, so today is an interesting marker on the calendar. 4 weeks from today is the MLB trade deadline. Tuesday, July 30th. That's when the deals have to be done. And Dave DeBrasse got himself 4 weeks to make something happen here. So we're going to start doing a thing, 1 o'clock every day, where we dive into a different story or a potential trade deadline candidate, someone the Phillies may be able to acquire. So the way we're attacking this one is Kyle is going to throw out kind of some the profile of the player, some statistics, some numbers, and Hugh, you and I will decide whether or not this sounds like an interesting kind of player to us, and then he'll tell us the name and we'll go from there. So Kyle, tell us about today's potential candidate.
Yep, we're matchmaking, a little blind date style here. So I'm going to throw at you some information about this player. You guys will decide if you think he is a match for the Phillies, and then see if you can even guess who this player is.
Are we talking about the intent before we start this dating game? Because I get a real leery because this feels like this one of those things where you know it could be one of hey, but what does she look like? But she really has a good heart, or he has a good heart.
Well,
so I need to know some measurements.
You guys are going to have to make a joint decision. It's you two and this player.
Okay? I'm looking at a threesome.
I'm just saying, no, and I don't mean it. Like, be clear, when I make these analogies, it's not in a misogynistic way. It's just that I'm trying to relate them to real-life situations. Yeah.
Well, I think you've just been hurt a lot, is what we've got.
I think
no,
all the
that's not it.
I think all the players are guys, just to put that
no,
out
I'm
there.
Just saying, but I'm just saying, I think it's easier to understand what we're trying to do when you put it in terms that most people understand.
I got you.
Well,
so,
we'll give you the measurables, and we'll see if you think it's a fit, Hugh. So this is a 26-year-old center fielder. They have 2 years left of arbitration, so that's two more years of control after this one. Mm. Now, their season numbers, just for the 2024 season, are as such. 259 batting average, 324 on-base percentage, a 747 OPS, and they have 10 home runs, 14 stolen bases this season.
14 stolen bases?
Yeah, you guys think this is a fit for what the Phillies need?
Does this individual make the vibe check? Because I feel like I know who this might be.
All right, let's first react to the numbers, then we'll ask the vibe check question, all right? The numbers strike me as, yes, this guy would be a fit,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
Center fielder with a 747 OPS. I haven't checked what the Philly center fielder's OPS is. I imagine it's in, like, the 500s or very low 600s. Okay, so this is a big upgrade offensively.
And that's what you wanted?
26 years old, and control left, so he could be here for a little while. Two more years left on the contract. I am very intrigued at the profile of the player. Now let's have Hugh's question answered here. What about does he fit? Do you think the vibes would fit with this clubhouse?
This is I guess more of a subjective question.
Okay,
if I had to answer it, in my opinion, I would say no. I think there's kind of loser vibes with this guy.
Uh-oh.
But see, like there's also like showman vibes with this guy.
But see, that's the problem because, like, again, not being misogynistic, but putting it in perspective that most people will understand is that this is like having the most beautiful individual. I'm just going to say that the most beautiful individual that you've ever seen come, you know, and you see them and but they like have a goofy laugh or they like to play with matches or something crazy like that.
Can I make a comparison of what kind of vibes that I get from this guy for a player that is not available, will not be available? This player will not come up in these discussions here. I liken the vibes to a Ronald Acuna.
Oh, so kind of young and flashy?
Flashy could annoy some.
But he can play.
That's the kicker. But I will say this, because I was there. There was a little bit of a... In Atlanta, there's a little bit of a tete-a-tete between Acuna and Freddie Freeman. There's a little, like, the culture change, if you will.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a tete-a-tete. So, I am on the side of being who you are. But I am also on the side of reading a room and understanding the situation that you're in, too.
I also think there's a line between great and good, right? Like, Acuna's great, so you deal with it.
Yes.
This guy is, from just his numbers, and it sounds like he's good.
This guy's more potential that hasn't been realized fully.
All right, who are we talking about here? Give us a name.
This player, fellas, is Jazz Chisholm from the Marlins.
You mean the dude that was messing with the Fanatic?
He stole his ATV.
Yeah.
He's the dude that said this last season when we played the Marlins in the postseason.
No team likes the lights more than the Marlins. I can tell you that.
I love that.
Arias,
I love that start.
He loves the lights. Arias loves the lights. Soler loves the lights. You dang sure know I love the lights. So this is what we live for, and we can't wait to get this started.
Boy, they have gutted that team in a year. Soler and Arias are on different teams already. Man, that was just like 8 months ago.
Did he get a hit in that playoff series?
I don't know. I don't remember. All right, this is a challenging one, Hugh. I thought this is where we were going, just based on the profile.
Yeah.
What's your verdict? Like your gut instinct, should the Phillies trade for Jazz Chisholm Jr.?
That's a tough one, man. Because I feel like, and I know there are some people in there like, idiot, the vibe doesn't matter, like Kyle. I think it does, man. I think it does. And I think that being in a situation where you're on a team that's not doing great and I mean, you got to have fun, and baseball is supposed to be fun. But, man, read the room. You got to be able to read the room.
I would take him. I would take him.
So you'd take him.
I'll take him.
The red flags mean nothing for you.
The way that this team operates,
that means nothing.
I also trust the leaders in the clubhouse that they can get him to be part of the team. Do I think he's going to be out there, doing his own thing? I don't know. I mean,
Yeah, it feels like that. It feels like.
But he's never been on a team like this. He's never been on with a bunch of veterans.
This is true.
He's been on young teams. Last year, they were like a make-believe playoff team. The Phillies knocked out in two games. This is a World Series kid, like a legitimate World Series. Sometimes players like that, they grow up when they get to these spots. So now that we know the name, I want to throw this out because I think it's interesting. So he's got good numbers, but he has great numbers in two areas. Runners in scoring position, one of the best in baseball this year, which that would help, right? And then this one caught me. So they have a breakdown here, Hugh, with low leverage, high leverage, and then medium leverage. Basically meaning low leverage would mean the game is 9-0 either way, right? Like the at-bat doesn't matter that much.
Mm-hmm.
Medium leverage, you get the point. And then high leverage, it's like 7th inning, tie game, big moment.
You like the attitude. You like the pop.
He is batting .365 in high leverage moments this season. Tells me he's got some ice in his veins.
You know what? I will say this. Because I feel like I don't want to be the old get off my lawn guy. I'm okay with it. I think we can rock with this.
Now again, I'm not trading the Phillies' best prospects for Jazz Chisholm, but if he's available, and we know there's been rumors out there they like Tanner Scott, the closer from the Marlins, the reliever, a little package deal from Dombrowski. Kyle, your final verdict: in or out on Jazz?
So the most enticing thing about him, I think, was honestly the 2 years of arbitration they could get with him. Maybe I'm just biased. I don't like Jazz Chisholm, man. I just don't like him.
We didn't like Bryce Harper once upon a time.
Yeah.
He was plunked by Cole Hamels. He was a punk.
But Bryce Harper is a true superstar.
No, I know. And this guy's not.
I think Jazz Chisholm is potential unrealized. And I could see it going
direction. You coming here and having a little bit more channel that energy a little bit. I'm okay with that. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I can't be the get off my lawn guy.
I'm out. I think I'm out on Jazz Chisholm. I think I'd rather try and go for somebody else.
I understand that. I looked up, by the way, the runners of scoring position thing. It's been his whole career, not just a small sample this year. He's good. He's good at that. So he has a little bit of, and his best numbers are in high leverage compared to his other numbers. I think he's got some ice in his veins. I would take him. I would take Jazz Chisholm. I recognize it'd be a little bit different for this team to have a player that's more like a me guy than a team guy.
He is very much the opposite. I agree with you mostly that vibes aren't going to win you a title. But, he is lightning rod type vibe.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
I think he wants to be that. He embraces it.
So,
He seems like the type that's, all publicity is good publicity.
Yeah, but, I think vibes can hurt you more than they can help you. And I think his vibes are the type that might hurt you.
I get it. I can't watch Rojas hit and Pache hit. He's an upgrade. He's an upgrade. All right, Kyle votes now. 215-592-9494. Where do you come down? Jazz Chisholm. We just watched him have a good weekend against the Phillies. And we are 4 weeks away from the MLB trade deadline. I would take him. I would take Jazz Chisholm. I think a theme's going to be over the next 4 weeks. If you present me with an outfielder that can hit, I'm probably going to say,
Yeah, it's not going to be hard to sway
you. I'll take him.
You've been on that train for a while.
There's a word for you out in the streets, Joe.
Yeah, what is that?
Easy. Loose.
You know what? What's the what's the word
too
for
much, hey Kyle, too much? That was too much. That was too specific.
I guess that was my fault. I asked you
a
what
harlot,
the word was.
He's a little bit of a harlot.
Yeah, I was expecting you to know that, that we weren't going to
what
say
is the word for the outfield we have right now? Can I have a word for that?
Oh brother, thou art loosed. You're loosed.
I'll give you a word for
with,
it.
With the outfield
garbage.
Yeah, garbage. Exactly. So I'm trying to all right, I'll take that over garbage. Sure. Herb in Mount Laurel. What's up, Herb?
Yes.
Herb.
Yes.
Hey, Herb, what's up?
Yeah, I'm here. Oh, I'm live now?
Thank you. Are, Herb. I'm here, too. Oh, so is Hugh. Quick. We're all here. What are you thinking about today?
You want to play with me?
No, I got two things. One at the very end, a local Delco guy is going in the Naismith Hall of Fame. I'll finish with that. It'll only take a few seconds. My point is this. There's all this kicking around about the new coordinator and all. Go back to different people who've commented to call us, and you got them on your tapes, Baldy and all these people. The new coordinator does different things. He's under the center right more. You've heard that. He has a lot of motion, a lot more. Why do you have motion? When you put it in motion, you force that safety to show what he's going to do. They use the running back more in the passing situation and mix and match. Also, guess what? You forgot to mention on what Devontae said when he was first asked. Go pull the tape up. I'm paraphrasing because I don't have the exact words. We have more freedom, and we can be used the things that we can do. Look that one up. Mm. Oh, how about BG when it was asked about the defense? Now we have, again, a change. Coordinators who know what they're doing, and again, paraphrasing, who get us in the right place at the right time. Okay? So now we have a situation where the Eagles, because of this narrative of merging offenses with something that's diametrically opposed to what the coach said. Oh, by the way, you know what the coach said about offensive? He said this on more than one occasion. Pull this tape up. Well, yeah, we try things from once in a while, but we like to double down.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Do better.
I know that one.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm asking anybody, Hugh, new offensive coordinator, with all these changes, your first camp, which is limited, not like in your day where you have plenty of time, is he going to spend 80% doing what they did before and like 20% on new stuff like they told Howard? Do you believe that?
No, I don't.
See, this is the problem. This is the problem. You guys are focused on the wrong thing. The quarterback has to learn everything from a new guy, and then the Eagles are going to tell Howard, oh, it's only 20%. I got some swamp land in Florida for you folks.
But I think it's interesting what you're saying, Herb, and I'll give you time. I'm guessing you want to talk about Bo Ryan. But how does it make the – why does it behoove the Eagles to tell Howard that to make Hurts look bad?
Okay, no. Go back to the business world, startup companies turning around everything. Go back and see what they're saying about what the coordinator does. The Eagles are so caught up in protecting Sirianni because everybody at the end of the year said, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Forget the offense. They didn't know how to do. And the worst thing was, not my words, go back and pull the tapes. They quit playing defense.
They did, Herb. I agree with her. I agree with you on this. They did. And that playoff game.
All I'm saying is this. They're trying to, and I understand that they want to protect Sirianni. You go watch what they do next year, and it won't be 20% new. Mm. But back to, thank you for allowing me.
And what do you want to say about Bo Ryan?
Yes, Bo was Delco guy, Aston, Chester High. We played against each other when I was at Abington. Coach Rainey took him and Ruben, went up to Wilkes University. But where he made his bones was he was an assistant in Wisconsin. You need to have a head coaching. He went to Division III Platteville. 4 national championships, 2 completely undefeated. Couldn't get the Madison job. Went to Milwaukee where they were losing. Took those guys, won 2 years in a row. Got the job at Madison, the winningest coach in Wisconsin history. Oh, by the way, that undefeated Kentucky team with 5 pros, they were going to squash Wisconsin and kick Duke. Oop! Kentucky went home, and I have a picture. Kentucky merchandise on half sale.
How about that?
Going, and they moved it, by the way. They moved it to October 12th, and then 13th is the induction because Olympic stuff. But, a shout-out to my teammate.
Oh, good stuff, Herb. We appreciate it. Bo Ryan was a great coach. 747 college basketball victories. That's an incredible run for Bo Ryan, who goes into the Basketball Hall of Fame. was trying to follow along all he was saying. He was bringing up a lot of different things that were said over the past couple months.
Oh, you were trying to follow, so it just wasn't me?
Well, I was trying to understand the point. I mean, I think I remember all the things he was saying. Like, we've heard those cuts.
We talked about it. We talked about him a lot.
I do agree with, I think, the premise he got to at the end. It does feel, and I keep saying this, that a lot of the messaging this offseason is Jalen.
Yes, Jalen. It is.
Look away from the other issues, Jalen.
But no, but see, the thing that people need to realize is this. The Eagles made a decision when they decided to keep Coach Sirianni. That's a fact. Now, we could talk about the elephant in the room all we want. The bottom line is this. Jalen needs to play better this year.
Agreed.
Bottom line.
Agreed.
Regardless of how you feel about Nick Sirianni's ability to lead, the Eagles already told you exactly how they felt about that. They felt strongly enough that they decided to keep him. Mm-hmm. So that's a non-issue. I know it's something that we want to talk about and somebody, well, what about Nick doing? Okay. But the bottom line is, Jalen, if Jalen doesn't play well with this new offense that's implemented, whether it's 20%, whether it's 80%, whatever the deal is, if he doesn't play well, Jalen's going to be the one that is going to have to bear this brunt, bear this burden, I should say. He's going to be the one.
Well, we can so talk is about, Sirianni.
But it's going to be on Jay. Like, my thing is this, Joe. If the product on the field looks off, you know, you could talk about Coach Sirianni all you want, but the bottom line is the quarterback has to make it go. With all the weapons that he has, he's the one that has to make it go. And that's the way it's been set up. It's been set up. The fact that we've talked about Jalen's leadership, the fact that Devontae Smith has been asked that question, the fact that you have players riding for Nick and you have other players that are riding for Jalen tells you everything that you need to know. Like, and again, the Eagles have made their choice. They chose Nick. So if it doesn't go well, who are they going to blame it on? And don't get it twisted. If Jalen doesn't play well and Kenny Pickett looks like he halfway grasped this offense, that's going to be a problem. Because then it's going to be, whether or not we want to talk about quarterback controversy or whatever, it's going to be one, because if the offense looks different with Kenny Pickett under there and he looks like he knows what he's doing, regardless if he's running with the ones or the twos, that's going to be a problem.
All right. I need to ask you this because you've brought this up a few times.
And I'm trying to tell y'all.
I know you are. What percent chance, like 10%, 20, do you think at some point this season we have the conversation with the audience, who should start Sunday, Pickett or Hurts? Do you think that's a 5% chance, a 50% chance? Which just give me a number. What percentage chance?
Okay, you're asking me hypothetically, how much will there be a conversation on this radio station about Kenny Pickett potentially being the starting quarterback?
Let me take you into the
you know I'm not good with percentages.
I'm going to take you into the idea. What would you say it's like, a 50-50 shot, higher or lower, that we get into our meeting one day? We're talking about, like, look, we did the show at 10 o'clock. What should we talk about today? And me or you or Kyle says, we got to have the conversation, Pickett or Hurts. What do you think that's better than a 50-50 shot that happens at least one day this season?
Are you asking me, is it better than a 50-50?
That we will do that show?
I don't think so.
But is it close to 50-50?
Nah.
10%.
I say 15 to 20.
That's good enough for me. 50%.
I know it's
good. 20% chance.
No, listen. And the fact that you're trying to pin me down with this, that's why I was kind of.
I want to know. Like,
you know what I mean?
Because you've said a lot. This could happen. I'm just wondering what you give it a 20% chance of happening. That's all.
I give it a 20% chance because it's already lined up. The fact did you guys see the story I sent you this weekend?
Which one?
When it talked about how Nick Sirianni talked about the nuances of the offense.
Yep.
I had some friends of mine that are coaches text me and say, you see what's going on, right? Like, coaches that are coaching. It's like, you see what's going on, right? They're CYA-ing, in a sense, when they talk about how the offense, the only thing that's changed is, like, the different nuances as far as his progressions and all that other stuff. My friend told me that that's a big deal for a quarterback. I mean, I already knew that, but, you know, just to have them confirm it, that's a huge deal. The way that you read different nuances and your route progressions and all that other stuff, that's a big deal for a quarterback.
Well, it is, because the timing and getting the ball out.
All of that. So, yes, Jalen needs to be careful, and Jalen needs to do everything that he possibly can to hit the ground running.
Well, and 3 weeks from now, when training camp starts, it's going to be a big thing. 215-592-9494. That's how you happen. All right. We mentioned the Phillies and the trade deadline, and we debated their Jazz Chisholm. The other thing to note with the Phillies is the second round of All-Star voting is going on right now. I believe there are six Phillies as finalists for the All-Star game, so you can go vote now, MLB.com, to get the Phillies in. So Bryce Harper's already been selected because he won the vote as a starter. But it's between Bohm and Machado at third base. Based on the numbers, Alec Bohm should earn that. He's earned this, but Alec Bohm should be the starter over Machado. Shortstop is actually between Mookie Betts and Trey Turner. It's a little bizarre. Trey could start the All-Star game with only, you know, missing so much time. Like
Mookie's about to miss a bunch of time.
Mookie can't even play.
Right.
So
that's what I mean.
I know, but I guess when Trey was out for that long, even though he's hitting 330 and like has had All-Star type of season, I just kind of thought he'd be eliminated, right? Because he missed so much time. That's not true. He could still make it and start. Contreras and Real Muto is the battle at catcher. And have you guys seen the battle at the outfield spot?
Who's the battle?
Well, this is a testament to every fan in Philadelphia who has cast their ballot for all Phillies, because Nick Castellanos has made it to the final round here.
So you mean the guy you've been killing, like, on, you know?
Well, I mean, all right. Like,
I'm just saying. I'm just asking the question.
Well, I'm just going to ask you the question.
If you're
voted an all-star and you're not an all-star, you're really an all-star.
If you wait a minute, say it again.
If you voted an all-star, but you're not really an all-star, are you an all-star?
All I know is he's getting high votes for all-star voting. Shout out to the people that are out there voting. Keep doing what you do, people. Keep doing what you do.
I'm just kidding. If you want to vote Casty. So Casty and Marsh are the two finalists in the outfield from the Phillies. And then Schwarber with the DH against Ohtani. So we have six Phillies as finalists. Harper's already in. It's Bohm versus Machado at third base. Bohm has certainly earned it. He's getting my vote. He got my vote originally. Turner and Betts. And, you know, it's certainly a great thing that Turner has come back and is in the mix here. Real Muto and Contreras at catcher. And then the outfield, you got to pick between three. Castellanos, Teoscar Hernandez, Brandon Marsh, Profar, Tatis, Yelich. Those are your outfield options.
I'm going to vote for Casty.
You voting Casty?
Yeah.
Let's vote all the Phillies in. That's what we could do. It's Casty.
That's what we do. We got the home cooking.
Marsh, Schwarber over Ohtani. Put all those picks in. You go do it right now over at MLB.com to get those guys in the All-Star game. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to your phone calls coming up in our final segment. I have the lock of the NFL season for you. I mean, this one is a stone-cold lock. No questions asked. Easy money NFL lock for the 2024 season. I'll unveil that. Plus, we get back often at 1:30 on the show. We dive into some investigations. And we got a hit one, Hugh, yesterday. This one I wasn't ready for. We have to dive into whether or not a WIP employee got choked up on the air yesterday.
Yo,
and I don't mean John Ritchie, who we know has before.
This is really...
I don't mean Joe DeCamera, who we know has before in the past. This is another WIP host who some think cried, or at least almost cried, on the air yesterday. We got to investigate that next. We'll play the audio. We'll do it next. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show. Sports.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.